Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. As we begin a new church year, we begin a new church season, the season of Advent. And as we begin a new church year, we also begin in a new gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Our first text to begin this new year is Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And his entrance into the city teaches us about who he is and how he comes. Advent doesn't just focus on the coming birth of Christ. It also focuses on Christ's entire first coming, his ministry, his life, his death, and his resurrection, among other things. In our text, Mark shows us how Christ's actions in our readings present him as King, Savior, and God. He teaches us about his first coming. Mark likes to teach through actions rather than words. The Gospel of Mark is kind of like an action movie, one can say. And throughout the upcoming year, we'll see how Mark likes to teach through actions. So as Jesus and his disciples draw near to Jerusalem, they approach two little villages called Bethany and Bethphage, and they're about 1 to 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And the Lord sends two disciples ahead of him to prepare for the final leg of his journey. And as they go, he gives them specific instructions. He says they're to go into the village, and when they are there, they are to find a colt, find a donkey that no one has ever sat upon. And this is a very important detail. An animal that was to be used for a sacred purpose must never have been ridden on or used before. This is seen in passages like Numbers 19, Deuteronomy 21, and 1 Samuel 6. This colt will have the privilege and pleasure of bringing the king into his city. He also tells them that if someone might say, "Don't grab that colt, what are you doing?" Simply tell them, "The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. The one who commands wind and wave and expels demons and disease can certainly call a colt into his service." And the two disciples obey, and they go out as Jesus had told them to do. And you have to really admire them for their obedience. Can you really imagine what that must have been like, being told such vague instructions, being told to go into a city to find a colt to take? I know I would be nervous about what the owner or what others might say about you just grabbing someone else's colt. I would also be nervous about finding the right one, or maybe the right animal. It's kind of like trying to meet someone whom you've never met before in person, but only over email or over the phone. You might feel hesitant and scared at first, and it's awkward, but you follow the instructions and meeting plan that you had devised. So as they go into the village, they find a colt tied outside at a door. And as they untie it and take it, you can imagine they are questioned. And so the bystanders say, "What are you doing? Why are you grabbing that colt?" And the disciples respond with what they were told. "The Lord has need of it, and he will bring it back immediately." This exchange might seem a little strange to us in that they're just able to take the colt. This would be like two people coming to you in your car and saying, "Can I borrow it? I'll bring it back here later," right? You might feel a little hesitant about it. Some have said maybe the owners knew Jesus. Others say maybe the command was just enough in itself. The Lord has need of it. But whatever the reason, they are able to have the colt, and they continue to prepare for the preparations. So the disciples take the colt back to Jesus. They set their cloaks on it to make a saddle, and he begins his trek into the city. And his coming into Jerusalem on a donkey is a very significant thing. In Christ's time, a donkey was a noble beast in Israel, not a despised one. And in our day, we really don't think of donkeys in a positive way or light. Donkeys are often portrayed as dumb, as silly, as stupid, as stubborn, and as slow. Perhaps characters like Eeyore, that depressing donkey from Winnie the Pooh, doesn't help images as well. But despite this, donkeys were really noble beasts, and they were also signs of peace as well. When kings would go to war, they would go on a horse. But when they would come in peace, they would come on a donkey. Jesus comes in peace as the king, and he came to win it. He is the king of peace, and the peace he brings is peace with God. And like any king, he obtains peace through the shedding of blood. But the blood that will be shed is his. But this act is also significant in another way. It recalls and fulfills Zechariah's words, which say, "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous, and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, foal of a donkey." This prophecy from the prophet proclaimed that the king would come on a donkey. And what is this king like? He is righteous. He is perfect. There is no fault within him. He is good. He is loving. He is humble. He is serving. He has salvation. He is salvation. And by the end of the week, he will have won it. But it's not just the text and donkey that proclaim him as king. The people do as well. The laying of their cloaks show this. This happened to King Jehu as he was proclaimed king in 2 Kings chapter 9. Jesus is proclaimed king as they lay their cloaks down for him. And as he continues on, the people who go before and after him are shouting out many proclamations in the procession. They shout, "Hosanna!" They are crying for God to come and to break in and to save his people. Hosanna means "save us now." And it comes from the Hebrew word yashah, which means to save. This word is the basis for Jesus' name, which means "the Lord saves." How appropriate is that? Indeed, he does. It has through Jesus. But they also cry, among many other things, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He who comes is another name for the Messiah from Genesis 49. They are confessing Jesus to be that promised deliverer, and he is just that. To come in the name of the Lord means to come carrying out God's plan of salvation. Jesus would do just that, even if the people did not understand what he did or what he will be doing. He would do just that, even though he did not fit their expectations of a king. They praise God for the salvation that has come, and he ends his march in the temple, God's house. Mark shows us very well what Christ's first coming is really all about. He shows us who has come, and that's the King, the Lord Almighty, the Savior. He shows what he came to bring, peace with God, and how, through his death for you and for me. Mark reminds us that God keeps his promises, and that we can trust him in his word. Advent directs us to Christ's first coming, his birth, his life, his death, his ministry, and his resurrection. Advent isn't just limited to looking to Christ's birth in the manger, but Advent isn't just limited to Christ's first coming as well. It also points to how Christ comes to us today. Believe it or not, the King of Peace still comes to this very day, and he comes with his peace. He comes to us in his word, where he speaks, where he recreates, where he nourishes and gives life. He comes to us through our baptism, that water with God's word, where he gives us forgiveness of sins, freedom, and saves us from death and the devil. And he comes to us in his supper, where he gives us his body and his blood. And our worship service really helps to make that point clear. Turn to page 161 in your hymnals, and you'll see what I am talking about. On page 161, We're in the service of the sacrament where we receive communion. And in the Sanctus, we echo the words in context of our text. In just a little bit, we'll sing the words from our reading. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We see how these words come true in our service, how our God does save us, how he has saved us. He saves us now through the gifts of forgiveness, life, and a strength and faith that comes from his supper. We see how Christ comes to us in this meal, just like how he came to the people of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. These words reflect this truth and this reality. For we receive the body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. We receive the King of Peace who gives us peace. We eat and drink what has won us salvation. Advent points us to how Christ comes to us now through his word and through his sacraments. But it also points us to his second coming when he will return. As we've heard over the last few weeks, Jesus is going to return. He is going to defeat his enemies, and we will be with him in glory in heaven. Our Lord will come back, and he will come back for us. May you have a blessed Advent season, and where you see how your Lord has come for you, how he does come to you, and how he will come again for you as well. In his name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus. Amen.